Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
I just have to start out in prayer. Father God, I have just before I came up here, actually just received such precious prayer from dear friends. And Lord, you know my heart. Just get me out of the way. I just want your Holy Spirit to flow freely in this place. And it is. What an amazing, incredible worship. What a way to go into this message that you have poured into my heart in recent weeks. And so, Father God, I just pray that every heart here is just open to receive exactly what you have to say to each one of us. And Father God, may I be the conduit, but Father God, may it all be about you, and just help me to get out of the way. Thank you, Father. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. So, in order to set the stage for where I believe the Holy Spirit is taking us this morning, I need to just give you a little window into my own current walk with the Lord. In other words, the season that I'm in, because honestly, I think it's the season that the church is in, okay? And of course, Ecclesiastes says that to everything, there's a season. And so any of us that have walked with the Lord for very long, you can look back on that walk and you can just see seasons, can't you? And a lot of seasons, but some seasons stand out more than others, and usually because there are seasons of extremes, right? Either it is blazing Holy Spirit fire. When you look back on that season, you're still seeing the flames just shoot out of there. And then you've got just the opposite. That season, it's just a desert time. And in fact, when you look on that season, you can just see the sand still, like, trickling out of it. And it's just a dry time, but yet it's a quiet time. And for any of us that have lived through both extremes, you know and have seen and have experienced how God just is so working in and through both. So, I have actually been in this season that I'm going to explain in just a minute for just a little over 2 years, and I'll explain that timeline in a little bit, but in this two-year time span, God has used many things to just bring what has become a common theme, not only for my own life, but I believe for the church. And I think just to simply put it, it's Psalm 46:10. It's be still and know that I am God. And in that stillness with him, in that quietness with him, I have just sensed him calling me, calling the church deeper and deeper and deeper into relationship with him, deeper in trust, deeper in being open with him and being open to him and having a greater expectancy of what he wants to do, is doing, and is going to do in our own personal lives and in the church. So in all of this, I've just been asking him to just reveal his heart. Just reveal your heart, Lord. But in the mix of that, those God conversations, there's a couple of buzzwords that are flying back and forth. And one is surrender. Carl, I need you to surrender. The church needs to surrender. We need to have total dependence on him in order that we can truly hear his heart and then act upon his heart. So, I just sense that there's just things that have been going on. So there's secret place times with him. And Pastor Ed's been just unpacking that so well for us lately. Just from up here on Wednesday nights, we've been talking about secret place times and just being in his presence, in his word, in prayer, praise, worship, quiet times. And just also Pastor Ed's messages have been so rich. other ministries that I follow, that I listen to, that I read, Christian events that I've participated in the last couple of years, just praying with others, praying in prayer groups, and just my roles in different ministries that I am currently serving in. God is just using them all to really mold and shape this season. And this season, as it's all coming together, I can easily sum it up in two words: love and unity. He also revealed to me that within, now I'm just specifically talking about within the church, there are different layers of love and unity within the church. And all that means is that each layer just involves more people. And as we all know, the more people that are involved, the more difficulties that can happen. So we're going to explore these different layers of love and unity this morning, and we're also going to explore an action plan to be operating in love and unity. So hence the message title, God's Heart Revealed, Love and Unity. I want to share a passage of scripture out of Philippians 2, verses 1 through 5, and this is specifically out of the Passion Translation. So it's a little lengthy, but I need to read with you. And it looks like there's just a couple words that are missing from the actual beginning of it. So how it begins is this: look at how much encouragement you've found in your relationship with the Anointed One. You are filled to overflowing with His comforting love. You have experienced a deepening friendship with the Holy Spirit and have felt His tender affection and mercy. So I'm asking you, my friends, that you be joined together in perfect unity, with one heart, one passion, and united in one love. Walk together with one harmonious purpose, and you will fill my heart with unbounded joy. Be free from pride-filled opinions, for they will only harm your cherished unity. Don't allow self-promotion to hide in your hearts, but in authentic humility, put others first and view others as more important than yourselves. Abandon every display of selfishness. Possess a greater concern for what matters to others instead of your own interests. And consider the example that Jesus, the Anointed One, has set before us. Let His mindset become your motivation. And honestly, as you can see up there, I put in bold, underlined, unity and united in one love. Last month, Awaken the Dawn. Okay, I know that Dave and Jody came up here and gave a brief testimony about it, and if any of you were there to experience it, you know very well that there are no words to express what took place there. So I'm not even going to try. Previous testimony has been spoken up here, but for the purpose of this morning, I want to zero in on a word that came out of that event, and it was actually spoken through, I don't know how to say his name, Michael Bogdanovich? Okay, and he's like the regional coordinator. Okay, so the point here is he's not from Door County, okay? But yet he said that he was driving into the region. He sensed the Lord saying this: Door County will be a doorway of revival to your whole state. And it will be accomplished through love and unity. Now, I have been on this love and unity journey for about 2 years now. So I'm like, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay, so this had like added meaning to me. So the antennas went up and it was pretty exciting to read this. Okay. Some of us went to the Beth Moore event a couple of months ago in Green Bay. And, just a precious time of, again, just women, even men, you know, coming together, different denominations, non-denominations, you know, all faith walks, but coming together just to be in His presence, to get in His word, to praise and worship together. But for the purpose of this morning, I want to bring out one comment that she gave to us. Beth Moore's from Houston, Texas. She, you know, literally flew up on a Thursday, left on a Saturday, and obviously Green Bay was on her radar because she was preparing the message just for, you know, our region specifically. But what she told us there, all of us in the audience, that she immediately sensed spiritual opposition and oppression in our region. And really, one of the main factors was the division amongst the churches. And she basically said that this opposition could be overcome when churches come together. Amen. In unity. So love and unity. All right? So going back to the prophetic word, okay, so we hear that revival is going to be accomplished through love and unity. You know what? I receive that. I believe that. I just have one question. How do we do this love and unity thing? Because I don't think we have to look very far to see that, to use some slang, it ain't happening, okay? We don't have to look any further than right now, divided country, divided church, divided families. So I was actually thinking about my own church journey, and I was kind of, I mean, it is silly, so it's sad, but it's funny. You know, when we lived across state, one of the churches that we were part of for a while, in order to be a member of that church, you had to speak in tongues. There was no question about it. You had to speak in tongues. And the contrast was the next church that we were part of, the pastor whom we loved dearly, him and his wife were like built-in grandparents to our children, he basically got ousted because he did speak in tongues. Okay? Scott and I grew up in a church where you had to be a member in order to receive communion. Okay. Talk about bringing division by just implementing some man-made rules. Okay? So when you're looking at unity in the Word, you're going to often see being like-minded in Christ. Well, I explored that with the Lord because, okay, I'm talking to myself here, okay? If this resonates in all with you, that's from the Holy Spirit. That's not me condemning you. I'm just talking to myself here. Basically, like-minded in Christ was like, okay, well, if you worship the same as me, you pray the same as me, you have the same doctrine as me, and you have the same way of thinking as me, well, then we're like-minded. How nice. And yet, how untrue. So, honestly, it's being like-minded in Christ. What does that mean? It's setting aside our denominational differences, our cultural differences, and just having the mind of Christ. If we all have the mind of Christ, then we are like-minded. Okay? Dutch Sheets has a great quote that I have to share with you. It says, once you have God's heart for a situation, favor, provision, and authority will follow. All right? Very good. So, what's the situation here? Well, Lord, okay, help me out here. So he showed me that within the church, there are layers of love and unity. And that most basic and the most important layer is your unity, personal unity with Jesus Christ. Okay? You and Jesus in love and unity. Okay? The next layer is your family. All right? It is you and your family and Jesus in love and unity. The next layer is the local church family. That's Door of Life. This is our Door of Life church family and Jesus in love and unity. And then there is the church family. That is all the gospel-believing churches that come together under the headship of Jesus Christ. Okay? So four layers. And again, what is it doing? It's just adding more people each time, which again, we got to get a little more creative at each level for love and unity. All right. So, Lord, favor, provision, and authority. So, how do we do this? How do we do this? And honestly, I sensed this. It looks like a mathematical formula, and I have to laugh because the minute I see a mathematical formula, I go, Okay, I am not mathematically minded. So if any of you are not mathematically minded, please don't, I don't want to lose you here. Okay, it's really just the format. It's really nothing mathematical at all. But I want to just give you a visual. And that is, oops, that's okay. Okay. All right. Holy Spirit inspired promises times Holy Spirit led prayer times Holy Spirit led praise equals Holy Spirit power with Holy Spirit passion to love well and be unified in the body of Christ. Notice how every line starts with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He inspires, he leads. His is the power. We have the power and the passion through him to love well, be unified in the body of Christ. See, in order to have Holy Spirit results, we have to be Holy Spirit led. Now, in order to be Holy Spirit led, here comes that buzzword. We have to surrender. We have to surrender, and we have to be totally dependent on him, and we have to be obedient to him, okay? So I want to unpack that one by one very quickly, and I just want to give you some verses, and I apologize. It's going to be a little small at times. First one, Holy Spirit-inspired promises. Where do we find his promises? In his word. We need to get into his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this. I have to go back to the passion. Every scripture has been written by the Holy Spirit, the breath of God. It will empower you by its instruction and correction, giving you the strength to take the right direction and lead you deeper into the path of godliness. Then you will be God's servant, fully mature and perfectly prepared to fulfill any assignment God gives you. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The footnote in my Bible puts it pretty bluntly. Pursue and value godly knowledge and wisdom. Understand that what you do not know can hurt you. Okay, we need to get in the word. We need to know these promises, okay, so we can stand on them. Proverbs 4:20 through 23 says, listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you, and pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then, as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health into the very core of your being. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. Amen. Amen. Which, of course, leads us then into Holy Spirit-led prayer. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together, was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord, in one place, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So here's where I want to unpack those different layers of love and unity through prayer. Okay, so again, the most basic level is you, all right? It's that secret place, you know, again, as Pastor Ed has been talking about a lot. It's love and unity between you and Jesus. And really for this, a great visual is going back to Exodus 33:9, which talks about Moses and his relationship with the Lord. And it just says, and the Lord talked with Moses. He talked with Moses. A couple verses later in verse 11 of Exodus 33, so the Lord spoke to Moses as a man speaks to his friend. That's the secret place. You're in there with your friend. He's not only your Lord and your Savior, your Redeemer, he is your friend, and he wants to meet you there on a regular basis, okay? The next level is your family. It is husband and wife. It is children. And our little 4-year-old granddaughter, Sophie, is coming home with these sweet little drawings, and one of them is her little stick house. You know, it's got the triangle for the roof, and then it's got the square for the body. And the Lord just brought that to mind. You know, it's just, You look at that triangle and you see God at the top. You see husband over here at this other point, wife over here at this other point, and then the children down here. And the beautiful part of that visual is God is at the top talking to the husband, talking to the wife. The husband and wife are talking together under the headship of God, and then they're talking with their children, and it's all under Jesus. It's a beautiful visual. And again, we're going to unpack this all a little bit, even further in a little bit. Okay, the next layer, local church family. Okay, so for us here, it's Door of Life. Unless you're visiting, just think of your own church right now, okay? And think of Peter. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. Peter did not chisel. He did not have to work at getting those chains off. They fell off in the midst of prayer. A church was praying. Chains fall off. And in this case, they don't even break. They fall off. Okay? So then the next miracle is just being able to go past, you know, the guard post. When they were past the first and second guard posts, really another miracle, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Again, we're not picklocking. We're not trying to pick the lock. We're not trying to climb up and over the gate or scale the walls. The doors just opened because a church was in prayer. Okay? The next verse that I want to share still goes along with this, and that is, maybe we did miss one, and that's okay. No, we're good. Yep, sorry. Okay. So now we're going to the church family. The church family, capital C. So it's all the gospel-believing churches, again, coming together under the headship of Jesus Christ. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, "Let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also." Notice the inhabitants of one city are going to another, okay, praying together, all right? The next one, these, meaning the disciples, all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Oh, talk about a diverse group coming together in prayer, okay? You've got the disciples, and you've got women. Biblical times, major no-no. The only reason men and women could come together is because of Jesus, okay? It didn't happen. It couldn't happen otherwise. Okay, so you've got the disciples coming together, women coming together, Mary, Jesus' mom, and you've got his brothers coming together. Well, I think it's in like John 7, maybe, that talks about, at one point, and then we're talking about his blood brothers here, they're looking at Jesus and going, "Wait a minute, he's our brother. How can he be the savior of the world?" Okay, but yet, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, okay, so now they're all of one accord. So honestly, this is a diverse group coming together in unity to pray, and it's beautiful. And for me, this is where I want to explain the beginning of the season that I'm currently in. And for me, this whole beautiful journey of love and unity really began 2 years ago when I was asked to serve as the prayer coordinator for Living Proof Live Green Bay, which was bringing Beth Moore at the time into the Rush Center. And part of my responsibility was putting together a prayer strategy to cover this whole huge event where thousands of women and men were going to be coming to. And so I needed to assemble a prayer team. And I also needed to encourage area churches to open their doors and to welcome in women from many different denominations and non-denominations coming together in prayer for this event. And that's just it. We were a very, very, very diverse group. And when we did come together, and I mean, we had prayer partners all over the place, so I very much communicated through email. But when we did these prayer gatherings in local churches, I can't tell you what an impact it had on me. We, of course, prayed for the event, praying out the preparation of it, the actual event, and how it was going to affect our region. But we prayed together for each other, for our families, for our community, our state, our nation, our world, our government. We came together for social issues. I mean, Green Bay has a huge problem with the human trafficking down there. Suicide, drugs, alcohol. However the Holy Spirit led us to pray, we prayed, and we sensed the atmosphere changing. I would walk out of these gatherings and like, wow. And part of the wow was the diversity of who I was praying with. It was amazing. It was amazing. And I could sense the Lord's pleasure in churches coming together in love and in unity. My personal verse through that whole journey of being the prayer coordinator was this. It was in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, and I did not put it up on the board. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Amen. Okay, so let's go on then, though, to the next part of that mathematical equation. I'm saying that very quietly. Holy Spirit led praise. So it says, be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, and your hearts will overflow with a joyful song to the Lord Jehovah. Keep speaking to each other with words of scripture, singing the psalms with praises and spontaneous songs given by the Spirit. Always give thanks to Father God for every person he brings into your life in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And out of your reverence for Christ, be supportive of each other in love. All right. So, Acts 16 gives us a beautiful picture of what happens in the midst of praise and worship. Paul and Silas, just a little side note, they've just been beaten with rods. That's all. Okay, they're, you know, undaunted. They prayed in the middle of the night, and they sang songs of praise to God while all the other prisoners listened to their worship. Suddenly, a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison, and all at once, every prison door flung open, and the chains of all the prisoners came loose. This is what happens in the midst of praise and worship. I didn't put it up on the board, but look up 2 Chronicles 20. Jehoshaphat, he is crying out. He is saying, God, we have a vast army coming against us. And what was God's strategy? Put the praisers out in front of the army. Okay, imagine being one of those praisers. Oh, really? You want me to go out in front of the army? Okay, sure. Talk about a walk in faith on that one, okay? So, but yet what happened? What happened as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes. The enemy was defeated. Okay? God breaks the chains. The chains fall off. Prison doors are opened in the midst of praise. The walls of Jericho came down in the midst of trumpets of ram's horns and the people shouting with a great shout, again in unity. You see, Scripture tells us that he inhabits the praises of his people. And one of my favorite songs, but it's been circulating in our church for a little bit now. I Raise a Hallelujah. One of those very lines in there says, my weapon is a melody. Okay? Beautiful. Beautiful. So, promises, prayer, praise, all in the name of Jesus Christ, brings us to Holy Spirit power, with Holy Spirit passion, to love well and be unified in the body of Christ. And of course, undergirded by total surrender, total dependence, and obedience to Christ. Why? Because Jesus makes it very plain, for without me, meaning Jesus, you can do nothing. Okay, doesn't get any plainer than that, all right? Without Jesus, we can do nothing. 1 Thessalonians 1:5 says, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance." Zechariah 1:6 says, "Not by might nor by power, not by our might nor by our power, but by his Spirit, by my Spirit," says the Lord. And then he says, "Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will also do it." Amen. See, this is where we want to know the promises to stand on, right? Okay, so this is where faith meets real life. What does that look like in the here and now? This is what I wrote. Get in the secret place every day. Get in his presence. Allow him to lavish you with his love so you can in turn lavish others with his love. God is love. We love because he first loved us. His blood is running through our veins. We do have the capability to love others and love others well, no matter our differences. Because, as the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, tells us, love never fails. And it also tells us that we are nothing without it. So Jesus is telling us without him, we can do nothing, and without love, we are nothing. We as believers, we're held to a higher standard, a higher responsibility, because we are commanded to live out the two greatest commandments. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. And the second is, love your neighbor as yourself. Praise God. We don't have to do this on our own. It's why we have the power of the Holy Spirit, allowing him to work in and through us. You know, we're a temple of his Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit. He's in us. He's in us. So therefore, his power is in us. We just need to partner with it because we can't do it on our own. Pray with your spouse. It can protect your marriage. It can save your marriage. It can strengthen your marriage. It can make your marriage flourish. Pray with your children every day. It will protect them. It will teach them how to pray. And it will show them how to go to the one who holds them in the palm of his hand. And it will also show them that they can trust him, he who knows every detail of their lives and will be with them always. For us that are part of Door of Life, or if you're from a different church right now, think of your own church. Find others from Door of Life to pray with. Put together a prayer group. Do it as often as you can, on a weekly basis, if not more. This can mean meeting in person, like I said, or just praying over the phone, an email, messenger, whatever. It's reaching out. We are the body of Christ here. We're supporting each other. We're supporting each other, stretching each other. Find time to pray with friends from other churches. I'm also a mentor mom for the MOPS group in Sturgeon Bay. That's Mother of Preschool Children, and it's faith-based. So we are a very diverse group, a very diverse group. Many churches represented. Some of them don't go to church. But we have a place to post prayers on our private Facebook page. We message each other. I meet with some of the moms one-on-one to pray with them. And again, for me, the prayer gatherings that started over 2 years ago because of the Bethmore event, well, we took a little break after the event in August, but there is a small remnant of us who are moving on with this. And we did just actually meet a couple weeks ago. We come from different churches, and we meet in different churches and homes. Next month, we're going to be meeting in a prayer room at Grace Lutheran in Oconto Falls. In January, I'm going to be hosting either one at my home or here at this church. So if you're interested in getting in on that prayer, please let me know. You know, we may be at different places, even different comfort levels with prayer. But guess what? Iron sharpens iron. And it's a perfect time to stretch others and to be stretched yourself, all in the name of Jesus and all in the power and direction of the Holy Spirit. I also want to share, even Scott, we live in Sturgeon Bay. Scott is part of a Bible study down there, and it's that Bible study, that men's Bible study, represents four churches. And so now they're talking about, you know, kind of doing some community things for the Sturgeon Bay area. And, you know, it was very wise in saying, we're not going to come under the name of one of the four churches. We're going to come under a name that they voted on, and their name is United in Faith. This is the church coming together and making a difference. I want to share this verse as well. And it's Elisha saying to his servant, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. This is us helping each other have eyes to see. You know, as we're coming together as a diverse group of churches, you know, and I've got those that are, they're kind of, you know, new to the whole thing of prayer, and just, and then there's people that just pour out their hearts very easily in prayer, and, you know, there's just all different layers. And so, you know, we're just praying for God to take us deeper, to open our eyes that we may see. And as I'm praying that out for others, they're praying that out for me, and it's become a sweet, sweet time of fellowship. So, finally, I wanted to say one more thing, though, and that is to gather for praise and worship. So it's going back to that mathematical equation again, but it's play that praise and worship music. Allow the Holy Spirit to truly speak to your heart during Sunday morning worship. I mean, we had an amazing worship this morning, and a time to receive breakthrough, to seek breakthrough, seeking the promise keeper, the miracle worker, the way maker. Okay, this is again what happens in praise and worship. Chains fall off, gates open, prison doors, those things that confine us. Again, we don't have to pick the locks, we don't have to chisel. This is what happens in the midst of prayer, praise and worship. It falls off. Things happen. So, and as we follow his lead, may we together give a great shout of praise as the trumpets are playing, the walls are coming down, the walls that have separated us, segregated us, divided us. You know, we heard again from Dave and Jody the testimony of what happened in the midst of prayer and praise and worship at Awaken the Dawn, and any of us that had the privilege of attending there, Holy Spirit, we want more. Amen. We want more. Amen. We want more. Door County will be a doorway of revival to your whole state, and it will be accomplished through love and unity. There are different layers of love and unity that we've explored this morning that need to come together for that revival to happen. And as God just laid out a... I don't even know. Again, I'm so not good at this. Let me see if I can go back to that little mathematical. There we go. Here's kind of an action plan. Very basic. Holy Spirit-inspired promises times Holy Spirit-led prayer times Holy Spirit-led praise equals Holy Spirit power with Holy Spirit passion to love well and be unified in the body of Christ at all layers. And again, the most basic is you. The next layer is family. The next layer is your church family. And the next layer is the church family. So God's heart revealed, love and unity. I'm going to pray right now, but I do have a little video that I asked Dave to show this morning, and it's very lighthearted. So just as we're talking about kind of this deepness, it's going to give you a sweet, sweet visual of love and unity, what that can look like out in the community. I'm not going to give anything away, so I'm just, yeah. But again, it was actually a news clip that was kind of promoting. They were going to be doing a story on it at a news station over in the cities. And actually, my mom-in-law shared it with me. So, but before I do that and I leave this spot here, Father God, oh man, we love you. 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 Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you that we're a temple. We're a temple of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're in us. We don't have to do this thing called love and unity alone. It's hard. It's not easy. We've made it as a nation, as a people, even in the church, even in our families. We've made it so complicated. And God, you are not a complicated God. You are not a God of disorder, but of peace. And so we trust you, Lord, to help us walk this out in love and unity. And oh yeah, it looks like a mathematical formula, which automatically in my brain makes it complicated. But Father God, you just gave me this format to just show the basic components that come together, that welcome in your power and your passion, which then flow in and through us. And together, we are a family. In this room right now, we are a family. Whether you have come for the first time, whether you are part of our regulars, whether you're from another church just visiting today, from another state, wherever, we're family. We're family. And you are our heavenly daddy. You are our heavenly Father. And we're trusting you. We're trusting you as we walk away from this today, Father God, that we just simply yield to you, that we just simply are your conduit, that we allow you fully and completely to just work in and through us. And Father God, Door County being the doorway to this revival, Father God, may it be so. Father God, we thank you, we love you, we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen. All right, just a short video, and then Judy is going to come up and give announcements.
Oh, yeah, my friend. People ask, like, oh, where are you living off campus? And I'm like, oh, in a nursing home. And they're like, what?
They all mother me. They take care of me.
Even though I was never married, they are like my little grandchildren.
All you have to do is go and spend time with some really nice people? Of course!
I'll skateboard in, and they'll like wave through me out the window, and it's just like those little things that make it feel like home. I say, you guys have your wheels, so I need my wheels.